Too many of my people assume by identification that too many of the people around them are also making up a hedge, believing that this one prays and that one prays and this one prays. And yet I have found so many gaps in my army that I'm asking you to come up and make up the hedge. Do not assume by association. Do not be deceived by association. That because you associate with a church of prayer and fasting, that you yourself are part of that message. Nor is everyone around you a part of that message. But you as an individual move in and do not look to your right or to your left. Put blinders on your eyes and say, Lord, it's not the person on my right nor the person on my left, but it's you and I, Jesus. It's you and I, and it's I standing in the place of prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. What does he need? What does he need? He needs intercession. He keeps saying that. If God could sovereignly do it, he would have just done it. He'd just done it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about revival. This was a good, if we didn't have any more, we had a good service. I enjoyed announcing this, and that was a good worship time, good worship time, and just all of us meeting together. But I'll tell you the honest to God truth. I'm just as serious as, they used to say a heart attack. I'm not going to say that. That's a serious thing. But I'm just as serious as I could be. I'd just really rather die and go home if this was it. Because this don't get it for me. This is way beyond satisfaction level. I got some grandkids that I die for, my girls I die for, love them to peace. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life, the most peaceful I've ever been. I'd just soon die and go home if this is it. If I can't have any more than this, because this is very dissatisfying. It's a dichotomy. It's satisfying to an extent that makes me want more. But if I thought this was it, I don't know where I'd go because nobody's got it. I'm not saying I quit. I'd just soon go home, though. I'm going to live to be 120, but I'd just soon go home because this ain't it. This ain't even half throttle, sister. Why? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shall return. It shall return. There's an end time army. And I got to be a part of it. It's done got contagious. It's done wrapped itself all over me. You talking about stage 4 or 5 cancer? I got stage 4 or 5 revival. It's done got, you can't chemo this out of me. You can't radiate it out of me. You can't get it out of me. You can't beat it out of me. It's done. It's stage 5, 4 or 5. It's gone. It's gone. It's too late. Call in hospice angels. That guy, he's gone. He's gone too far. He's gone. Let's go ahead and get a little theatric. I'm going to bring my nursing assistant here up here. Now, last night, believe it or not, I'm praying in the Spirit, and this guy's preaching. He's done a wonderful job. He's teaching. Wonderful job. And I saw this going on this morning. So this is not, I used this years ago as a lab technician. I'm using it this morning as Dr. Flynn will be in the house. Actually, I'm representing Dr. Jesus, but because we have a, this is a little tight, honey. Did you put this in hot water? Fat guy in a little coat. So, no. Wouldn't it look more official if you buttoned it up a little? All right, can you? How's it look? How about you nurses? How's it? Should I button it a little bit or should I just leave it? Like, hallelujah. Glory to God. What are y'all laughing about? So let's go to Romans 8:26. I'm really not trying to represent myself as a doctor. I want to represent, I have the distinct privilege of representing the Doctor of Doctors, and I'm not specifically talking about the Dr. Jesus, although he is our healer, but I'm talking about the one that has been sent here, present tense, on this earth to help diagnose you and help call, begin to change the full essence of your life. Obviously, we can't get to where we want to be with where we're at, present tense. Insanity is the definition, of course, is doing the same thing all over and over again and expecting different results. Every month, every week, every year, every whatever. That is the full expressed image of insanity. I want different results. What are you going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. Really? Yeah, I'm believing for different results. Okay, I'm all for that. I'm with you. But the only thing is you got to do something different than you've been doing. You've got to put another variable in there or nothing's going to change. You got to throw something else in the recipe here or nothing else is this. It's going to be, you're going to be, Pastor Dave used to say, you want a scary thought? He said, think of next year at this time. If you don't like yourself, you don't like what you're going through, you don't like your mental disposition, your physical disposition, if you don't like what's going on around your life, the only way to change is to change. Gary says there's no change without change. No change without change. That makes sense to me. But Dave would say the scariest thing is this. You're going to be the same thing next year as you are today, going through the same repetitive problems unless you come to a place where you begin to allow him to change your life. Now let's go to Romans 8:26. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture. And I hope you're there. And I will read verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, because prior into this chapter, there were several mentions of spirit, and it was talking about your human spirit. There's one other previous to this concerning the Holy Spirit. But this is the second mention. We could say, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh itself, or you could even in the better translations, or himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. We've taught on this extensively. I've taught it. Homer's taught these chapters. Pastor Dave, Gary, We've heard this, many of you. We've got elders in here that we've had speak. We understand so much about this, but yet we still understand so little in our actions and what we do. Let me read out of the Amplified what we just read in the King James. Verse 26, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep to utterance. He who searches the hearts of men, it's kind of a repetitiveness because the Holy Spirit is the one doing the searching. He's also sending the prayer language. He who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what is his intent, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God. He pleads before God. Now, I did that repetitively. In behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God
being a partaker in their labor. All things work together and are fitting into the plan for good to them that love, who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. When it says here that we are partners and laborers and that all things work together for the good. Now, we understand this and taking things in context. This is simple, Simon, for us whose blinders have come off through the Word of God. Where in that does it ever, in this whole chapter and even leading up to this, saying that this is catastrophes, hardships, trials, distresses, fears, anxieties? And yet you'll hear so many well-meaning, God bless them, just want to, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to them, except I wish that they wouldn't continue to deceive people when they stand up and they say, well, God did this, and this is all working together. We don't know why God did this, but this is all working together for the good of them that love him. I was at a homegoing this week. They did really the best they could. And I always try not to be a critic in the midst of people's hardships, and I never say anything. But when people stand up and proclaim, preachers that have been preachers for 30 years, when they proclaim and say, God took this person because this person, it was their time to go. And God, and when they're, and I'm not talking about somebody that is well into a state of like they're 100 years old. God plucked this person because they had reached perfection. God did this. And I'm thinking, you know what? My God. And everybody's hearing this. Everybody's hearing this. Everybody's believing this. And you're believing. Listen. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Pastor Dave used to say, if you accuse my wife of putting virus and germs on you, and now he was teasing. There was no violence in Pastor Dave, but he said, man, we'd go out behind the church and I'd put one on you. If you accuse my wife of putting virus, sickness, disease, and killing to teach your family a lesson, I would take an offense at that. And yet we hear preachers all the time, God did this to teach you a lesson, but it's all going to work out for your... They died. Was that for their good? Man, they died. David said, in the earth, there's no praise to your name. If I go there, I'm not going to praise you anymore. Well, they died for the glory of God. There's only been one I know of that ever died for the glory of God. I mean, there's been martyrs, but I'm talking about their physical life. They physically, like, you know, bore disease in their body and those kinds of things. That was all for us. So we just read out of the Amplified. Let me get Greeky with you here just a little bit. Not geeky, but Greeky. I wish I had Dr. Jim here. He can flow in those terms so good. Or, well, the pronunciation of them, I guess I should say. Let's look at the word likewise for just a moment. We just read it. Likewise, the Spirit itself or himself. The word likewise here means hosotes, it is pronounced, but it means just really, it's real simple. It means even so or like as what I have previously said. I don't want to lose you in Greek terminology, but it's important that we look at a few Greek terms here because we really want to see what the Holy Spirit does for us and why it's important. Because you understand this, that theatric of me getting on one knee, and I meant it. I mean, you could tell it was in my heart, but it was an expression from God. It's all about you changing, and it's all about him being able to help you change. And the reason being is he needs our authority. He needs our absolutely authority. Listen, you get this. I know you get it. I know you get it. But if there's things inside of us, and we'll see this in just a moment based on infirmity, because infirmities are maladies, things inside of us, weakness, it says, the Greek says physical, moral infirmities, emotional infirmities. It's in the Greek. It's there. I've seen it. He prays. Now, he's talking about to Christians. He's praying against our weaknesses. Well, Pastor, I am ready for revival, and I am an intercessor. Well, and I can believe you are. I weep oftentimes for the city, and I believe you do, and I believe he's using that. Maybe some of you are watching. But let me give you a caveat here. Let me give you something that is a little change in how that he can do everything. He can do everything except transgress your authority. And your authority is coming from a place of purity, so that if you're in a place where you're interceding, and yet there's some part of you that still holds an offense, and sometimes you don't even know that offense is there until you get down to the nitty gritty. I wish I had a stethoscope. Sometimes it don't even come out until it comes out in fasting. That's one of the reasons why people don't like fasting. Because I felt so good about myself until I put in 3 or 4 days, and then all of a sudden, then I start thinking about things that I'm still a little bit mad about. Well, can I just tell you something? And I don't mean to hurt your feelings. All the authority that those cries and tears and prayers of intercession, they're being kind of balanced out. The reason why we haven't had the cascade of like Niagara and going over the falls, they kind of weigh each other out. You've got a little offense over here. You still haven't forgiven hubby. You still haven't forgiven wife. You still haven't forgiven partner. They still make your gills just a little bit red. You're crying over here for a revival, and all the intercession you're making, that's good, but still it's balancing itself out. The weight of your full authority is being, you got a rope on you. He's wanting to cut the rope. You're trying to get there, and he's trying to get you there, but you're not going to get all the way through this thing until all them things are broken off. Maybe it's insignificance. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's worry. Pastor Jim did a great message on worry the other day. Worry's a sin. I got to take the responsibility. Worry's a sin. It'll stop your authority, just like being mad at people. I'm not mad at nobody, but I'm a worrier. Well, you're here's your 100% over here, and you got I can't sleep. I'm just worry all night long. You got a string on you, sister. The reason why you hadn't broke through completely and we're not just yelling like crazy is because there's a balancing act here. I want all that stuff cut off. I don't know how to do it. I know who does know how to do it. He likewise makes intercession. Now, likewise there, I'll kind of digress there for a minute. Likewise in this chapter is this. Previous to the likewise here, there's two other intercessors that are making intercession in the earth. One is, we won't go into it, but if I had time to teach, and I have before, there's the intercession of creation that he uses as an example. In other words, the planet that we live in, he says it's in groaning. It's in intercession. This is Romans 8. Everybody still with me? Romans 8. There's actually three intercessions in Romans 8. It's very plain there. The first intercession is creation. The earth is groaning. It's not praying in tongues, but it's as an essence of an example. God is saying the earth is groaning. The hurricanes that are coming, sometimes Satan will kind of stir up storms. I believe he stirred up the storm in Mark chapter 4. I believe that. But a lot of it is just planetarium. It's just the groaning of the earth. We're just falling. The earth is falling apart. And it is crying, in essence, for its renewal to be made like the sons of God. And it says, the word says that when we are renewed, it's going to be renewed with us. Hallelujah. Then there's the second intercessor, which is likewise, which we ourselves, it says, groan within ourselves. That's the new birth. That's the born-again experience. Your born-again spirit doesn't like the infirmities. that's being imposed on it by your flesh. It doesn't like that. It doesn't like war. It doesn't like crime. It doesn't like it. It especially doesn't like the things that your flesh are trying, as I said before, to impose on it. That's the two likewises before. But you've got a boss. Maybe I don't know if he likes. Maybe that's not the best term to use in regards to the one I love so much, the precious Holy Spirit. But you got an overseer. He is the boss. You got one that is, the earth is crying out. That's an intercessor. My born-again nature is crying out, but boy, I got to have somebody else come bigger and better and badder than me. I've got to have a boss. I've got to have a true doctor to diagnose. I don't know why I can't get there. I said before, I'd rather die than stay here. You guys are great. Thank you for attending. Thank you for supporting the church. I'm not running any of you down. But if this is it, I really don't want to stay around. I'm very serious. Why? Because there's a hunger inside of me that says there's more. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return. It absolutely. But I don't, you know, at this point in time, I don't know how to get there myself. I really don't. I think I'm pretty smart, but I don't know how to get there myself. But I know if I sit in his presence long enough, he'll pray me through to revival. He'll pray me through. The last intercession is likewise, like the two previous ones mentioned. The two previous ones mentioned in that chapter was the earth or creation and our own human spirit. But likewise means, of course, as is or as the other. The word here, likewise, then the word helpeth. Now, this word helpeth is an incredible word. It's the word soon anti labana nia, nomia. Soon anti labama labana nia nemo nia. It's very close. Let me try it the third time. The third strike is always the best. Soon anti labana nia. Close. And it might be mia, something to that extent. It means this. That's what matters. It means to take hold of opposite together. And it means that the one that is doing it comes alongside. The word soon, it does break down to this. Maybe I can best say it this. The prefix is the word soon. And it means to associate. The Holy Spirit comes to associate companionship, the process, the resemblance, the possession, instrumental addition. It means to beside with. A composition, it is similar to the application of including a completeness. And it is also made up, that's the prefix, the word anti-labamania means this, to be a helper or to take hold in turn, to succor, also to participate, to help, to participate, to support. The first definition combined together was the one to take hold of opposite, to take hold together in opposition, to assist one to take hold. Now, I obviously not a Greek scholar, I can read though, but I heard Rick Renner years ago, and he really broke this down, pronounced it a whole lot better than I just muddied the waters with. So, but he demonstrated that the whole thing was that the Holy Spirit, the picture of the Holy Spirit, I think this is only mentioned two or three times, this word in the New Testament. That's neither here or there. The important part is this, that the picture there is that the Holy Spirit as a helper comes to assist you, but he not only comes to assist you, he takes hold together with you. He locks arms or locks in essence with you to take hold together with you in an opposition. He's in opposition to whatever it is that's coming against you. Rick described it as incredible. He said this is a very aggressive word. It's not the word helpeth seems a little vanilla to us. It's a very aggressive word. It really means that the Holy Spirit, if you allow him, comes alongside. He takes hold together with you, and he has an attitude towards whatever your weakness is. Hallelujah. This is a Holy Ghost with an attitude. Hallelujah. He doesn't like your weaknesses. Not because he doesn't like you. Maketh intercession. The word here, I'll not embarrass myself to try to pronounce the word. It means to change upon by implication. It just simply means what we believe it means, to stand in the gap for someone else, to make intercession. But let me share with you the word infirmities, asthenia, which means a feebleness. If the Holy Spirit comes to us and helps us with our infirmities, it means that he helps us in body. This is the Greek, in body or mind by implication, a malady or a malady of moral, a frailty could be emotion or a disease, an infirmity, a sickness or weakness. It comes from a root word, asthenes, which means to be more feeble, impotent, sick, without strength, or weak, or weaker, or weakness. The word says here that he also makes groanings for us. The word groanings is the word sighing. How many have ever sighed? Come on now, are you still with me? Are you still with me out there? Hallelujah. Do we need to do any jumping jacks? I hope not. How many have ever sighed by reason of your infirmity? You're like, God, whether you physically did it or emotionally did it, you said, God, I'm ready for this thing to be over. I'm ready for it to be over. Yeah, I did. We're getting some feedback from Pastor Holman. Yeah, I did. It means you can't go on any further without him, and he has to be the reason why that you're able to go further and go past. The word not, it is a one word, but it all is conjunction, not cannot be uttered, is the word unspeakable in the Greek, aletos, and it means unutterable, and it cannot be uttered, in essence, in the natural. Now let's take for just a moment and let me step into my doctor position here, because I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I'm representing a picture, I pray, this morning of his work in your life and the desire that he desires for you to come to a place of the reality of how important it is to pray and to keep praying. I did not intend on hearing myself prophesy this morning concerning what Sarah will have to type up later. But I do remember that one of the things that he said was this, and I believe he said that last Sunday, I'm sure, that, and again, I'm not trying to get us down, okay? We want to come out of here high, real high in the Spirit. I'm not trying to get us down. But I want you to understand something. We often think more of ourselves or those around us, or how did the Lord say there's a deception by, or don't be deceived by association, or deception by association, like, I rub shoulders with you, you rub shoulders. Oh, where do you pray? Do I pray? I go to the family prayer center, bro. Seriously? But do you pray? Bro, I go, do you know who my pastor is? That man's sick on prayer. He don't shut up. I go, but do you? And the Holy Spirit is wanting us to know, not to tell on each other, there's far less going on than what we suppose. There's a lower level of commitment than what he's asked. I believe that. What he's asked of you, what he's asked of me, there's a lesser. I said last week, you can spend the night in the garage, but that doesn't make you a car. Do you know who my pastor is? That man won't shut up on prayer. Hallelujah. Now, okay, so let me have some fun for a moment. You got to go along with me, okay? Because otherwise it will really be dry. And okay. So when you go to a doctor's visit, so we know this. He, when we pray, what we got out of some of those Greek terms, if you called any of it, is that he brings forth a diagnosis to start with. He searches the heart. That's a diagnosis. He knows everything, but he'll spend the time like, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, and while I'm praying for you, I'll figure this all out, although I knew it before you were born, but you know what, I want you to know, have a present tense kind of feeling that I'm working with you. So he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession according. I got a plan for this. I'm going to not only diagnose what your problem is, but I'm going to give you a prescription. I'm going to help you out of this, mentally, physically, or whatever it is. Whatever your malady is, whatever your infirmity is, whether it's physical, whether
it's done. Pastor, I am of the association of those that believe that my salvation and everything is done, and do you know that I've got a born-again spirit? It's complete. It's perfect.
Yes, I know. I know, as in righteousness and true holiness and those kinds of things. And I'm not talking about the infirmities coming out of your spirit. But I don't know if you know this or not. Well, this is a secret, so I got to say this real. Christians that have perfect spirits, a lot of them walk in sin. I know that broke your heart. Some of them will lie. Some of them are still mad at other people. Some of them are still having lust. And just like I said, James said that whole pot, it all comes out of the same place. Intercession. Oh, gotta get them saved. Gotta get them saved. That you can't pull out of that pot. It's all in the same plate. You can't pull out of that pot the feelings of anger and offense. Well, I know you're doing it out of your spirit, but what's tugging on your spirit and what is the firewall against your spirit of truly making intercession is the things that have not yet been cut off yet. Bitter and sweet can't flow out of the same well. So he'll come in. Good to see you today. Yep. The first thing I've noticed in doctor's offices is that, you know, if you want them to help you, you know, they have an assistant, and the assistant comes in, and a nurse assistant, and she'll take your vitals to start with, or he, you know, take your vitals, blood pressure, those kinds of things. Anytime I've been with Candy, even of late, if two times I can think of when they take her blood pressure, the first thing they say is, the first thing, always, it's like, wow, you got great blood pressure. And I'm like, and mine's always, they call it the white coat syndrome, I think. Mine's always good. It's always within the, you know, where it should be. But they always go, wow, with her. And I'm thinking, I'm the runner. I know this isn't my appointment, but I'm just... she has perfect blood pressure, just perfect. They always say, it's almost like an athlete blood pressure. It's like, wow, I've heard that twice. Now, wow, that's really got good. I work out. I'm the one that works. But they always, you know, they take your blood pressure and they want to make sure you're okay. And then the doctor comes in, and then you tell the doctor, well, this, that. You know, I used to do this. I can't do that anymore, and whatever, and oh, ow, ooh, you know, whatever. And so, you know, used to probably he would, you know, now they got their laptop. They pull it out and, you know, I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're, you know, trading on the stock market while they're listening to it. I have no idea. But, no, they're typing in. And so they always want you to, you know, for a doctor to be able to make sure he begins to help you. And listen, some of you say, I don't believe in doctors. Well, Pastor Hagin said this, you better, if you need to go to a doctor, go to
Dad said this, go to a doctor if you need to. Live long enough. I'm going to prove. Well, listen. If your faith isn't there. Now, somebody that I know, and I'm not going to say, they just recently died of a, instantly died, because they were standing and they just refused to take their blood pressure medicine. But they instantly dropped. Well, wisdom is justified of her children. I'm not going to tell anybody to start or stop your medicine. But if you died not taking your medicine, it proved that you weren't in total faith. It just proved that. So listen, make sure when you stop anything that you're mature enough to stop it and truly stop it. Don't give God a bad name. God told me to stop it, and then you drop dead. And then everybody thinks faith don't work. No, it wasn't God. That dear person, I won't identify because it's too close right now. That dear person should have kept going on. And just like Gary did, you know, when God chose, he broke it down. He matured enough, he broke it in half, and he broke it in a third, or however it was. I'm going to go cold turkey. And, well, my God, it's up to you. But like I said, I ain't got time to bury you right now, so please just don't. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. Make sure your faith is where it's. Don't let this be a bigger boy. Once or twice in high school, this was a bigger boy than this. And then I found out. I got hit upside the head about three times. I said, "Oh God, this was a bigger boy than this." Don't let this, your mouth, be a bigger boy than the spirit on the inside of you. Amen. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to have you. Do you have the umph in your gumph to do that? Because if you don't, you're just showing off with your words. Hallelujah. So they always do the preliminaries, and then, of course, this is, a real, we've got a couple of doctors that watch us. They're probably laughing, but that's okay. They love me. They'll humor me for the moment. But, of course, they always want blood work, right? Because you got to have the blood work actually will give them the panels to look at to say, here's part of your problem. You got high sugar, or your cholesterol levels, or triglycerides are up, or this, that, the other. And then so they come up with all the different based on, because internal medicine is like they can't look inside of you. They got to get a blood test, and then they send that to the lab, and the lab comes back and says, here's all the panels. This is what it looks like. They're low in this, high in this, or normal. And so they're able to look at that and say, well, part of your problem maybe is this. You've got this, this, and this. And I diagnose it based on the... So isn't that sweet, though? Doesn't that ring a bell that the Holy Spirit is the internal doctor? If we pray in the Spirit enough, He's making intercession for us with groanings. And I don't even, Pastor Dave used to say, we don't know how to fix ourselves. I don't know how to get to revival. I know it's through prayer and fasting, but I don't, what is it, Pastor, that is stopping? Well, I can tell you one thing that's stopping, and I've got it. I've got the virus. Well, let me say it in faith. I've got symptoms. I'll feel better about saying symptoms. But the symptoms that I've got a virus, and I'm beating the virus. Can I tell you this? There's a virus that's in the body of Christ that's much more rampant than COVID-19. It's called a virus that runs in all of us called doubt and unbelief. Because if this virus was totally gone out of me, and I was, well, Pastor, I don't appreciate you running down my faith like that. Well, listen. Part of your virus is you miscalculate the done part on the positional truth versus the application of the death of your flesh that needs to take place to collaborate with your spirit
Well, it's done, and we just better just go ahead and do it, and we better do.
Listen. Can I be polite? Let me be polite. Put up or shut up. I got one of my best friends here, and he's got a beautiful wife. He needs to see her. And if you're done doctrine, it's all done, and no, this is all works. If you're done doctrine works for you, come on down. Come on down. I got a son-in-law as a supervisor at Ritz. How much does it cost for a night at the Ritz now? Give me a full price, bro. How much? $1,200 a night at the Ritz in Naples. He will set you up. He'll help book. He won't buy it for you. I will. I promise you. I promise you. We can scrape it up. While you come to minister to my friend, wherever you're at in the world, wherever you're at, I'll pay your flight. If you want to bring along your wife, you can make it happen. We'll set you up. If you're in Florida, you need to enjoy our beach for a week, okay? Since you're going to make this happen and because of your doctrine of it's done, and it's we don't have to pursue this, and it's all by works what we're doing right now, since you're going to take that and do that and help my friend and instantly change, you should sure get a week's worth of beach time. I promise to the Lord I'll pay for that as well. That's going to cost me some big bucks, isn't it? You'll probably meet my son-in-law out around the pool at times. And have a good time after you. But listen, if you can't do that, put it up or shut it up. And let's go someplace. Let's go ahead and go someplace. Glory to God. Pastor, you're talking real. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. So they get the panels, they look at you, and they say, okay, you need this, you need that. But, and then they, where's my? Here it is. Then they'll start, after they figure out, usually they got to look, you got to go away, get the blood work, and then they got to come back the second time because they got to read your blood panels and all. And then they'll say, well, look, this is what I'm going to prescribe for you. And then I love their writing because it's so much like mine, you can't read it. It's so good. They just write so fast, and they give you a prescription. Some of your own prescriptions, that's okay. Some of your own several prescriptions, that's okay. As Dad Hagen said, live long enough to get past this. Don't die on me. Feel better. You know what? God wants you to feel good while you're praying. He does. He doesn't want a headache. He didn't want you suffering a headache and all kind of blood pressure. He wants you should feel as good as you possibly can while you're praying so you can endure the prayer. Okay? He wants you to feel good. Don't go to sleep, but feel good. Hallelujah. I've actually broke some fast before because I knew he wanted me to be in prayer more than I could discern prayer. I hope this didn't give too many license here. But I knew I needed to be in prayer more and in worship more than I needed to be present tense in the fast. And I'd be long enough into a fast I couldn't think much anymore. And I couldn't even, it was just dull of reason and that stuff. And the Lord say, I'd really rather you do. I knew it by revelation. I knew he'd rather me have some food in my tummy and get my electrolytes up and get my body in a condition where I could listen and hear. And because when your spirit can always hear, but when your brain is depleted of glucose and you're down to where, you know, your electrolytes and, you know, you could keep those replenished no matter what, but in a fast, but still your provider, your healthcare provider, the Holy Ghost, he will tell you what you need to be doing. Sometimes he'll say, break the fast. And you can't, no, I'm on a 21,
and I am 18 days into it, and I've got to do...
No, listen. The days don't matter. The days don't matter. What matters is you changing.
Well, I've done 540s, Pastor. I know. Can you raise the dead yet?
Because I'm just not impressed at all, except that praise God that you did it. But the time doesn't matter. It's what you can do. The greatest infirmity of my life presently, as I said, is the virus that I'm fighting of unbelief. I'm thankful to tell you that I do not believe that there is moral viruses running in me, but there is a virus symptomatically. I'm not claiming it. I'll say the symptoms of there are of doubt and unbelief. Are you fighting it? Yes, I am. Are you winning? Yes, I am. But it's still there. Otherwise, I am not raising the dead. Well, have you tried to raise? Listen, God will get them to us. He'll get them to us. I was part of something this week, and the minister that was over it, he said, look, we don't even have to advertise this. He said, if they're hungry, they'll find us. Field of dreams. We build it, they'll come. We build it, they'll come. Pastor, how do you know that you can't do those things yet? Well, one is he hadn't brought, when we get where we can, he'll bring them in. He'll bait them. He'll bait them. They'll be here and we won't even, who asked you to come? Nobody, they just come in. I don't know how to fix me, he does. There's a greater virus in the earth than just the physical viruses in the body of Christ. There's the virus of doubt and unbelief. There is the virus of, these are infirmities. Do you understand that? These are infirmities. There's the virus of same old, same old. There's the virus of complacency. There's the virus of I don't care. I don't care. There's probably a third. Everybody that watches, everybody that comes here, I can't tell you how much that I am so thankful. I wish there was 500 here this morning, and it wouldn't matter if. I mean, it would matter. I wish everybody was on the walk. But everybody's invited. But there's only a certain amount at this point that's really carrying the load of authority. And I'm not going to go around, tap you on the shoulder or anything like that and say, you're one of the ones or you're not one of the ones. But you know. You know. And God is speaking to every single one of you. There's the virus of I don't care. There's the virus of excuses. That's Luke 14. Everybody's got. There's the virus of excuses. Excuses are really associated with distractions. Pastor, you know, we're going through a season of distraction. Yeah, we are, but when do you think that season's going to be over? The 12th of never ever? Never ever. Never ever. There'll be sometimes where seasons where there's more than others. But there's the virus of the blame game. I would be a lot further along if it wasn't for. There's the blame game. There's the virus of, as I said before, I love this one. I don't really love it. I can't tell you, because next Sunday, you could have me here preaching a message on the positional truth of it is done. And I could get all of us going like, it is done, it's done. Glory to God, we're getting in the parking lot, it's done. We're ready to go whip a bunch of wildcats. It's done. It is done. There's a place called done. We're living out of that place called done. But at the same time, if it is done, then come fix my buddy. And if you can't fix, people have left here. They left here, and I made them mad. Do y'all know I don't really ever try to make somebody mad? Well, maybe I do sometimes. I made people mad. Now, this is years ago. People left here that had been going here a long time because I wasn't teaching the grace doctrine that said it is done, and you're messing with people's done, and you should just accept. You're trying to get us to work towards something. I wish to God. I honest to God wish to God. That some of you, that I could just provoke some of you and some of you watching to be mad enough at me to prove me wrong. Just prove me. Just say, Pastor, I want to make a liar out of you. You're saying that prayer fixes everything. Could you all say it together? Not that you're, none of you're mean to me. Would you all say, Pastor? Now say it real. Come on, you got to get indignant with this. If you, thank you, Pastor.
Pastor,
you think
prayer
fixes everything. You did it. You got to put some swag in it. Come on now, Pastor.
You think
prayer
fixes
everything. One more time, Pastor.
You think
prayer.
Fixes everything.
Music. Oh, soothing music. Come on, give it to me one more time.
Pastor, you think prayer fixes
everything. Oh, thank God. I do. I believe it fixes everything. Everything. It'll fix your marriage. It'll show you how to walk in peace. A woman sit right back there, up against the wall. I preached on prayer for a long time. Very, very emotionally, she was very incredibly smart, but emotionally had some real, so what if she's watching? She's not watching, and I wish to God she was. Emotional problems, serious emotion. I said, if you will do this and prove me wrong, I beg you to prove me wrong. Get a log, start writing how many hours you, and then come give it some time. Give it some time. I gotta, you know, you can't start today and tomorrow come up and say, you know, you're a liar. But prove, I give you this challenge, and I promise I will apologize to you if this doesn't work. I said, give it a few months. Systematically sit and pray. You know, and I think I challenged at that time maybe an hour a day, nonstop in tongues. At that time, we were opening up the church for prayer. Don't ask for come to the church and pray. We're not opening up the church present tense for prayer. So we do that on Sunday night, though. We'll do that again tonight. But at that time, the church was being opened up for prayer for anybody that wanted to come. This woman would come systematically, 3 or 4 or 5 times a week, and sit right back there in that corner. You know, I didn't want to be in this, you know, I was in my office all day, but sometimes I had to go to the restroom, and I'd just maybe go even sometimes that way. But I would see this woman looking at me with daggers, really kind of like, I'm here, and she'd be like there, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to slap you. Check, I did my 1 hour, and I'm out the door. Tomorrow I'll come and... This woman, she later gave a testimony that she tried her best to prove me wrong. She wanted to go for 2 or 3 months of nonstop prayer every day, and then at the end say, I'm just as emotionally disturbed now that I was when I started. And she wanted to testify to that. God proved her wrong. God changed her. She got very emotionally stable. It wasn't perfect, but she got a change. She really changed. Sad thing is that after several years of changed, she stopped taking her medicine. She started listening to other groups that said, you don't have to do this. Do you know you can always reverse anything? You can get healed in your feet or legs, and then if you don't continue to do what you're doing, it'll come back. Jesus said it'll come back. No healing is permanent unless you continue to walk into Him. Some group convinced her that it was all about love and you didn't need tongues, and she stopped taking her prayer pills. And it took a while. If you stop praying for several months, 2 or 3 months, you'll get squirrely. You'll get squirrely. In other words, you never reach a plateau and then say, I'm gonna put this thing on autopilot for a while. We're gonna cruise down the road. I'm gonna stop praying. Wherever you prayed yourself into, you will have a debasing. You will come back out of that and go back to that level. Another one of those left the church kinds. Are you having a good time? The virus of works versus grace. We just talked about that. We're getting closer here. Your doctrine of it's done. We just talked about that. I gave you an incredible litmus test. I didn't name one of my best friend's names, but you know who I'm talking about. I hate to throw him under the bus. Hallelujah. It's so important that you and I keep our appointments with God. It's so important. What if, I'm thinking about this, what if you go in after your blood test, diagnosis, and the man feels like, or the woman, wonderful women doctors, what if he says, you know, or she says, you know what, I think I really... We've got this thing down based on your blood work, based on research. He that maketh prayers for us makes intercession for us. Why? Because he searches the hearts. He searches your whole life. He looks into everything like that needs to, that's a hindrance. But, and the good thing is I love this. I love this. I think this is one of the most things I appreciate. He operates in the dark. He is a God of light. He'll bring things to light. But do you know how many things that he's probably taken from us without the mention of it? I feel good. Yeah, and I'm going to keep that as a secret. I'm not even going to tell you what I took out. Hallelujah. You didn't even know about that. You'd have fretted on that one. I took it out and you didn't even know it. 6 things I took out and you didn't even know that was part of you. Thank you, God. Operate. Put me under anesthesia. I'd rather just not even know and say yes, but hallelujah. But I'm going to write this up and I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to go to wherever your pharmacy is at, CVS, Walgreens, or wherever, and you're going to get this filled, and you're going to take it for 30 days, and you're going to come back and we're going to see how you feel. Okay? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So you do that, and he writes it out, and maybe it's 3 prescriptions. Maybe you can stack these, and they're all good for you, and they're going to work for you. Although we do know this, there are already, really, they're a temporary fix to get you to a place where you're healthy, right? Because eventually we want you to, you know, totally, I'm laughing at it's not really funny, but do you ever sit and listen to the commercials on medicine? I'd like, oh my God. a lot of them end in this could cause you death. The side effects are this, 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 and this. I've kind of tried to listen. The side effects last equal to or longer than the help of, they'll tell you. It's like, oh my God. I'm going to be worried while I take this. But if you need help, you need help. You know what I'm saying? Do that until you can get healthy. So he's going to write out this. You're going to take it to wherever you're getting your prescriptions filled, and you're going to take this for 30 days, and you're going to come back in a month, and he's going to talk about, has it made a change? Has it made a change? Or she's going to ask you, has it made a change? Okay, here you go. And there you're out the door, you are. So you go and get it filled. And by the way, since I've already been pretty sarcastic as it is already, and you forgive me all the time, do you know I can prove, I can just absolutely prove without any argument that we believe in science far more than we do in spiritual things? Because we will keep an appointment with the said doctor. You won't miss that. And you'll take those medicines just like he says. But when somebody tells you out of the Word of God that there is one member of the Godhead that's just devoted, he just devoted the rest of his life, although he's always lived, I'll just devote the rest of my life to praying for you systematically so you come out of this thing, and yet you won't take that to heart like you do a doctor, a physical doctor, science, medicine. But on the contrary, let me say this. If you take this prescription, you go get it fulfilled, and you come back in a month and you say, look, he says, how's the medicine working? I hope I was, you know, on target based on the information that we got back from your blood work and what things, your symptoms. How's it going? Did I help you? Well, no, I feel the same. I feel worse. Well, man. So you're taking this medicine and it's I'm not taking the medicine. What? No, I never did take the medicine. I know you told me that would help me. But can you tell me something else beside the medicine? See, look here. I got to find it. I don't know anything else except this. I've exhausted, you know, you go to the doctor, he or she, you know, they go through, of course, high school and then undergraduate school, and then they go to graduate school, and then they go to, of course, a medical, you know, school, and then they go through their internship or apprenticeship. They actually have to go and serve alongside some other doctor. And so by the end of it, it's 7, 8, maybe 9 years, I don't know. And they're qualified in their particular area. And once they tell you something, that's the best they have. That's all they know. I mean, this is all I know to fix you. See, all I've exhausted myself is to tell you that prayer will change you. Prayer will change your marriage. Prayer will change your life. Prayer ultimately, even if it doesn't at the very moment, it will ultimately send you on a journey to get your body fixed. Even if God has to go get a specialist to help you physically, prayer will help you do that. He'll do it any way he possibly can. But if you come back to me later and say, Pastor, this isn't working. And I say, well, man, you pray. No, I'm not praying. But is there any way that you can, can you figure out something else? Is there any other thing that you can tell me? No, I honestly don't. It's not the right way to say it. I do feel sorry for, I do feel a compassion. There's a dualism there. I feel a compassion. I feel sorry for people that won't, but I also feel like I can't help you. I've exhausted myself. If you say to the doctor, I know you went through 8 or 9 years of schooling and I know you wanted me to take that medicine, but I'm not going to do that. But can we talk about something else? He'll tell you, this is all our clinic's got. All our clinic's got is to do diagnostics on you. And after the diagnostics, we kind of figure out what the plan is. But if you want another plan, we don't have another plan. This is our diagnostics. This is our diagnosis. This is what we can do. We don't have anything past this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. There's no plan B. You have to let Him take you to the place. Listen, throw out, and I'm not, totally being sarcastic. Throw out revival. If you don't want to help us revival, I'm going to love you just like I love anybody else. But if you want to fix your life, if you want to fix your emotions, if you want to fix your personality, if you want to fix your body, if you want to, on one knee, I'm asking you to pray. Listen, by praying in the Holy Ghost, he is an individual. He individualizes your diagnosis. And he will pray for you individually. And he will give you the prescription necessary for you to succeed. Now, being a minister of his and listening to him for many years, I have, and I believe I can this morning, help. And I want to give some prescriptions here. You won't mind if I give some individuals. You're, young lady, you're smiling here. I'm going to ask you, please, because these are individual. These are individual prescriptions. Please don't share it with your neighbor until later, until I ask for it, because we're all at a close. But if you'll just, you can look at it yourself, but, you know, so that's yours personally. You on the front row. I think you need, let me look at you for a minute. What are you? I'm going to write you one. I believe this is going to really help you. So Steve, how you doing, buddy? This is a good-looking couple here. I'm going to write you a prescription. You're so beautiful here. So. Lord, help me, because I need, this is individuals here. Everybody is at their own. There's a nurse down there with his beautiful wife. What's the CEO? I really got to study this one. All right, there's yours, sweet young lady. That's personally for you, just you and him, okay? Okay, that'll work. Matthew, you're.
What do you do when you look at somebody that you feel like I don't need?
You're doing good, sir. You're doing good. So, Matthew, I'm going to. You're new here, right?
Relatively.
Kind of relatively. You got filled with the Spirit just recently?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's good, man. Can I give you a prescription?
You may.
Okay, wonderful. Now, just hide that for a minute, because, Paul, I love you, man. I'm coming through the camera in just a minute. This one is going to help you. This is one you've needed for a while, and you kind of, anybody else? Arnold said he'll take one. God bless you, Arnold. You know what? I'm writing this out. This is going to be personally for you. That's for you. Now I'm going to ask each one of these that have, because every one of them is an individual diagnosis, and it actually is a prescription for the rest of their life. Let's see, who did we start here with? Kirsten, what could you say it loud enough that we could stand up and tell us what is the prescription to make your life?
Prayer.
Wow, that's an individual. Awesome. Who'd we, this young pregnant lady here. Would you tell us what the doctor said would change your life, and what's your prescription?
Mine's really different. It says prayer.
Who's next? Oh, this lady at the front. Could you stand and tell us, what is your prescription?
Prayer.
It's amazing. Now he's, who else? Young lady. Prayer. Matthew, you just started at our church and you just got filled with the Holy Spirit. What was the Holy Spirit's prescription for your life for change?
Exactly what I needed.
Exactly what you needed. Let's hear it. It's prayer. Oh, my. It's just amazing. Who else got one? Paul?
Yeah.
Prayer. Prayer was, who else? Arnold in the back.
Prayer.
Diagnosis after diagnosis. Glory to God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. We can talk about it.
What's that 50 song? Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. We can talk about it, but if we don't do it, it ain't going to work. You might walk out of here and say, Pastor, that was a really good prayer message. I appreciate that. I really do. But I'm not so concerned about you telling me that I did good. What I want you to do is to do it. Because it works. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you, we praise you, and magnify you. Kingdom of God come, and will of God be done. Holy Spirit, we've been given you as the one that stands as our comforter, our guide, the one that will not only diagnose our life, but will also pray the mysteries and cause us to succeed in this life. We bless you, Father. We thank you for this hour. We pray that, Lord, that as we go out of here, would you just lift your hands and magnify him with me for just a moment. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise you. Lift up your voice. Begin to magnify him. He is so worthy to receive praise. We glorify you. We glorify you. We praise you, Jesus. You are so worthy, so worthy, so worthy, so worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We praise and magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. You are so worthy. Kingdom of God, come into our life through more and more intercession and prayer and living in you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day. Amen. We'll see you tonight. 6 o'clock. Amen. Spill a highway for the king.